At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker, who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
A 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
All right, welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. It is Thursday, so that means yours truly is back every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, noon to 1 p.m. Central Time. I am live here on, in the 93.7 The Ticket studios. Grab your lunch. Come join me. Producer Jake, here's what you're going to get. You're going to get Husker sports, college football, general sports. You're going to get unique insights, unbridled honesty, and producer Jake and I are going to have a whole lot of fun in the process. Today's show, just finished the press conference, or maybe it's going on with the players, I don't know. But I want to speak mostly on what Matt Rhule had to say, talk about John Butler. Okay, Matt Rhule's learning curve. There's a learning curve that is happening if you're a college football coach, because this is a world unlike, I mean, I interviewed Tom Chattel on Tuesday. I'm like, could you have ever imagined college football being like this 10, 20, 5 years ago? He's like, no, not 10 years ago, not 5 years ago. It's a world unlike anybody's ever been in before. And this year is even more crazy because you have to get rid of, if you're Matt Rhule, 40 to 50 players off your roster, plus the transfer portal, plus NIL, plus coaching changes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All right, so Matt Rhule's learning curve. Also, what's worked? What has not worked? I talked earlier this week. I said, I believe that Matt Rhule's going to give, he's going to have the confidence. You listen to him today in the press conference. He speaks with conviction. He speaks with confidence. He's talked about how he's loved December. And he said it like convincingly. I'm just like, man, realistically, like, is that possible? Like, the month of December is insanity if you're a coach. He said he loved it. He's loved it so far. He's embracing it. He's enjoying it. And that's what I have full confidence in. He's going to evaluate what works. He's going to evaluate what doesn't. He's going to make changes. He's going to leave no stone unturned. But there's a learning curve. Because what I said is, will that equate to wins? And that is going to come down to what he's able to successfully change and adapt to sooner rather than later, successfully or not. There's going to be changes he makes that work, some that don't. It's the learning curve. Is he going to make more changes that work than don't? And is he going to do it sooner rather than later? It's a big year. It's year three. He's mentioned it multiple times now. He makes those year three jumps. He expects to make a jump. He said it again today. It's a big year for Matt Rhule. So we're going to talk about Matt Rhule's learning curve. The players like John Butler. The players like John Butler. And even before today's press conference, I knew that. I've seen there's a particular player in the transfer portal right now. And to be clear, he seems like he's all but committed to a particular school down south. So it doesn't seem like he's coming back. But since Butler was hired, so just in the past couple days, I've seen messages where he said he and I quote, loves John Butler, end quote. I don't think that's going to change his mind. Maybe had, you know, Butler been named the permanent DC sooner, maybe that would have done something different. And I'm not saying Rhule should have hired him sooner, because it's about getting the right guy, not about getting a guy, whether he's the right or wrong guy in here sooner. I have no problem with this timeline. You got to get the right guy. Rhule said, interviewed 5 or 6 potential defensive coordinators for this defensive coordinator job before they officially hired Butler. Some of them sitting Power 4 conference DCs. Okay. So the players like John Butler. At least that's what I've seen. All right. We'll discuss that just a little bit. A little bit about Terry Braden. Phil Snow, what's his role going to be? Not officially hired, so Rule couldn't specifically talk about him today. So he spoke in the mannerisms of, if I were to hire an elder statesman coach, and then he went on to talk about that. So we're going to discuss all of said things. Also, a transfer portal update. There is a former five-star high school edge rusher. Well, he's not in high school anymore. He was a five-star coming out of high school. Now he's in the transfer portal. Basically, he's all but committed to Nebraska. And this is someone that would be exciting to get. Okay, so that's going to be the first segment. Segment two, Jake, I'm going to fix the college football playoff problems. That's what I'm going to do. I didn't have time to do it the other day. I just, on air, live, predicted my college football playoff national champion as is. I'd like to go back and redo that because I reevaluated later and I was like, oh, in the moment, maybe I would have picked somebody different. But I'm going to attempt to fix the college football playoff as is. It really doesn't matter because in my world, there'd only be 8 or 10 teams in. In 2 years, there's going to be 14 teams in. So this whole 12-team format, it's going to be a bygone. It's going to be a thing of the past as of about 3 to 4 years from now. But we do have it this year and next year. And there's five common sense fixes. I mean, it's not rocket science, in my opinion. I don't have all the answers, but some of these things are so obvious. Just simple fixes. And then I got an interview at the end of this show. I think it's going to be very, very enjoyable. But first, as always, we got to do our daily prize giveaway, $100 gift certificate to Automotive Solutions, 2040 Southwest 5th Street in Lincoln. Oh, and to be clear, I'm still going to talk about Nebraska's core players, whether it's today or tomorrow, at some point. And I'm up to 14, I might add. When I did this the other day, I think it was like 9, 10, but people would message me, hey, what do you think about this guy? What do you think about this? I'm up to 14. Now, I didn't say yes to everybody that was messaged to me. It helps that Keona Davis came back. I added him to the list. But at some point this week, either today, we'll see how much time we have, or tomorrow, okay, depending on if 89,000 different pieces of news break between now and then, I will at least take 5 minutes to 10 minutes to 20, depending on how much time I have and go through Nebraska's core, young, returning players. All right, but let's do our daily prize giveaway. Be the fifth caller. Receive a $100 gift certificate to Automotive Solutions, 2040 Southwest 5th Street. What's that number that they can call there, Jake, to be a winner?
402-464-5685.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, be the fifth caller. Should we patch him through today? Give him a trivia question? What do you think, Jake?
Yeah, we could try.
All right, now if I'm on one of my diatribes, please hop in and interrupt me. Yesterday, Tuesday was very polite, did not interrupt me, and our caller did not get brought on. So feel free to hop in. Whenever okay. We got caller number 5, just get my attention. We'll bring him on. I will make up a random trivia question on air. All right. Let's start off the top. Matt Rhule's learning curve. So he spoke today on several things. All right. Let me go through some notes here. Interviewed 5 or 6 people. Wants to get better, specifically on third down. Okay. 2-minute and red zone defenses. And he basically alluded to the fact, he said a couple of things they got to get specifically better at. One was tackling. Said he didn't feel like we ran as hard to the ball this year and didn't tackle as well. I would agree with both those sentiments. The defense still played well as an overall whole, way more often than not. But as far as things, when you compare him this year to last year, I would agree with that. We definitely did not tackle as well in space. I thought we tackled incredibly well in 2023, especially after 8 or 9 years of not doing so much. That to the degree we would have liked. It was much, much better in 2023. This year was not like bad. It wasn't bad tackling like we had seen in the past at times. It just was not as good as a year ago. And the pursuit to the ball is not the same. And it's funny, pursuit to the ball, more hats to the ball, sometimes equates to better tackling. Tackling a guy with talent and wide open space one-on-one is hard. But all of a sudden, if you miss and you got 2 or 3 of your buddies coming, all of a sudden the tackling doesn't appear to be as bad because maybe he only gets 1 or 2 yards after you miss, or maybe you get him down. But getting as many hats to the ball as you can, relentless effort in gang tackling, and being good at tackling, go hand in hand. So does just getting a guy down one-on-one. But the other thing he talked about was he feels that, like, and he referenced Iowa specifically. Iowa's not a great passing team. They're a running team. Nebraska played well against them defensively. But he talked about, when you look at some of the teams across this league, at some point we're going to play Oregon. I know not next year, but you look at some of these other teams. Washington, they can sling the rock. At some point we're going to play them boys from Seattle. Right, you look at USC, you look at UCLA. They came in here not throwing the ball well, and they threw the ball all over the yard. They converted their first 7 third downs. One of them was a 53-yard run by the quarterback. The other 6 were all passes. 6 for 6, their first 6 third downs, throwing the ball, and then the seventh, somewhere in that mix, I forget the exact order, was a 53-yard run by the quarterback. And Rule talked about, and you think back to some games, we beat Rutgers, we got lucky there was a drop touchdown in the guy's hands in the second half. He just dropped it. Beat him 14-7. You think back to second half of Illinois, there was some confusion. And I know John Butler was the DC, so I'm going to address that in a second. But more complex coverages, okay? So it's a little bit harder for the quarterback to see what's going on. I was truly surprised when UCLA's quarterback came in the way he did and had the success he did, because he hadn't had that all year. That was surprising to me. Okay, so he wants more complex coverages and, dare I say, more coverages that they ran kind of in the NFL. And Phil Snow was the one that kind of brought it up to him. When Phil Snow was his D coordinator at Temple, they played really good defense. At Baylor, they had the number one defense in the Big 12 their last year there. At Carolina, everyone just assumes it went awful for Phil Snow there. Their offense was awful. Their team was bad. The defense, at one point, was number one in the NFL, and at the end of one of their seasons, finished number two in the NFL in total defense. So there's things they've done defensively that have worked in the past, and that he wants to start incorporate more of that into the mix and into Nebraska's defense going forward. The learning curve is, are you going to do too much? Because we did too much on offense last year, which is why Dana had to simplify. What are you going to take out? What are you going to put in? What's going to work? What's complex? What's just overload? What becomes less is more? What becomes more is more? What becomes the best? There's a learning curve. There's a learning curve with the transfer portal, with NIL, with roster management. Revenue sharing is coming in just a few months, ladies and gentlemen. Has Matt Rule learned? He still wants to build through high school, but he's going to be more aggressive in the portal. He talked about there's colleges out there who've offered guys at Nebraska. He's spoken with the head coaches, and they didn't even watch film of the guy. They got scouting departments doing that. By the way, that's how the NFL works, if you're wondering. College games more and more and more and more like NFL. Every single day. By the way, I can't wait to see what Bill Belichick does at North Carolina. I mean, that may be the greatest football coach in the history of the NFL. I'd say him or Vince Lombardi. And I know Tom Brady, topic for another day. We can dedicate an entire show in the offseason to that topic if you'd like. But is he going to be a good college football coach? Because it is different. The college game is more like the NFL than it's ever been, but they don't have guys who can go into free agency twice a year, every single year. It's insane. And Bill Belichick, I know from the pre-draft process and when I spent time with the Patriots in meetings with Belichick, he likes to have control. And he gave the president of North Carolina during their meeting the other day a 400-page, I don't know what you call it, but this is what I'd like, and it was 400 pages. Like, that's what he's used to. How's he going to relate to college kids and coming and going and not being able to control that? Nobody's a better football coach than Bill Belichick. But is he a good college football coach? I can't wait to see how that unfolds. But back to the topic at hand. Matt Rule. He's going to do everything he can. Will he learn quickly enough, make changes effectively enough to get the appropriate amount of wins going forward? Five's not the goal. Six ain't the goal. I talked to somebody the other day, and they're like, nope, seven ain't the goal. If we're talking improvement, seven would be okay next year. We've heard the word leap. Leap or jump. I think it was jump. One of those words. They mean the same thing to me. Multiple times out of Matt Rule's mouth now, already in December. Year three, jump, leap, whatever the heck. He said, they mean the same thing. So that's at least... What does jump mean to you? Does that mean one game, two games, four games? How many more games does he have to win to equal a jump and or leap in year three, Jake?
I would say three.
It's at least two in my mind.
Yeah.
At least, if I'm being honest, three is what I think of. But it's like a minimum of two, knowing that we want Matt Rule to work out here and him to be the guy. Ask the text line. Let me know. What's your definition of a year three jump? Is it leap or jump? Does it freaking matter?
No.
Okay. I'm going to say jump. What does a year three jump mean to you? It's not one game. Okay. Anybody, don't go to like 11 or 12 wins. That would be a gargantuan jump, which would be phenomenal. It can be done. Look at Indiana, et cetera. I'm not saying we're going to do it or we have to do it. But what's a leap or jump mean to you? To me, it's at least two games. And I think I'm actually with Jake, three. That's nine wins right there, ladies and gentlemen. All right, John Butler. Players like John Butler. So I already referenced a guy who's in the portal. I'll give you a hint. He came in here and he was interviewed one day. That's the hint, okay? Live in the studio. That said he loves John Butler. There are players who've gone to Rule and said, we'd love for Butler to be the next DC. And another thing I found interesting. There aren't many secondary guys in the portal. There's only one guy from Nebraska's secondary in the portal. I thought that was interesting. Does that mean something? Maybe. Does it? Maybe not. I think if he wasn't liked by his own position group, I think there'd be more than one guy in the portal. Now, Rule did say they're going to hire a true secondaries coach. So John Butler will not be in charge specifically of the secondary going forward. Sometimes you see a coordinator in charge of the linebackers or the secondary or whatever the case may be. It's usually not guys that coach the D-line. Why is that? I feel like I should be offended at that, but I'm not really sure what it means. But it's typically guys that are coaching linebackers, secondary, but that's not going to be the case. We've got a couple of linebackers coaches now. He's going to hire a secondaries coach. He said they're interviewing guys the next couple of days. Players like John Butler. You look at last year. Was it a tough situation for John Butler to come in July, run a 3-3-5, learn the guys? And when you listen to Butler, he talked about, I mean, it's not like he hasn't coached in college. He coached for 20 years. But he's been in the NFL for 10 years. And sometimes you get used to things. You need to be reminded or just reintroduced to this world that is college freaking football, because it is nothing like it was 10 years ago. I will never forget playing that NCAA college football video game. And I've mentioned this on this show. 6'6", 295-pound guy. Looks like Ivan Drago from Kennewick, Washington, wearing number 9. But I was supposed to pretend that guy wasn't me. And because it wasn't me, that's why I wasn't getting paid. And if I got paid, I was going to be in serious trouble. Now we got quarterbacks flipping schools for $10.5 million, reportedly. It's just, I'm not saying it's bad. I don't know that I'm the biggest fan of it, but it is the world that we live in. So whether we like it or not, it just is what it is. And Matt Rhule has clearly embraced it. He has the right attitude. He has a positive attitude. He clearly, whether he's actually enjoyed December or not, and the way he expressed it, man, I'll tell you what, I'll take him at his word. He is confident, and he has embraced what college football is. He said several times, whether we like it or not, over his press conferences throughout the past year or 2 years since he got here, it is what it is. So, all right, trying to think of anything else on John Butler. When it comes to X's and O's, when it comes to scheme, I have no doubt he's as good of an option as we've had out of anybody Matt Rhule hired. And he's had a year to get reacquainted with college kids and learn the new college football. Because he talked about, in the NFL, I played with guys like Leonard Little was like 35. Leroy Glover was 36. These are some anomalies. London Fletcher was 38. So these are some anomalies. You got 23-year-olds in there. But this is their job. These are grown men. This is how they put food on the table for their families. When this is done, football for them, a lot of them have no idea what they're going to do next. It's all they've ever known, all they ever dreamed about. And this is their job. College kids, it's becoming their job, but it's not the same just yet. Most of them don't have families, kids. They haven't really even like thought about what the future holds other than I want to play in the NFL. And that's okay. I had no idea what I was going to do until I was 31. And I stumbled across this thing that turned out to be the Character Chronicles. My point is simply this. He talked about, when I would tell somebody in the NFL to do something, they'd pretty much do it or they were gone. He's like, when you come back to college, those kids haven't done this. This isn't their job. They haven't done this for as many years as guys in the NFL. No matter how tenured they may or may not be, whether they're 26, 27 in the NFL, 34, 35, and if you aren't doing it, you're just gone. So you don't get the chance to be there that long. So the guys he's used to coaching had done it. Guys in college have not had the reps. And so that was a little bit of an adjustment for him. Obviously, he came in July. I still think what Dana Holgorsen did within 2 weeks of being here, being the OC, because he wasn't the OC the bye week. So 2 weeks later, what we saw against Wisconsin, a good defense, not a great team, is one of the most impressive things I've ever seen. I keep wanting to compare that to Butler. And the secondary, it's apples to oranges a little bit. It's still fruit to me. You can put it all in the same fruit basket if you want. Or you can pull it out and say one's apples, one oranges, however you want to look at it. My point is this. I still wish the secondary would have played better. It does say something that people haven't entered the portal from the secondary. It does say something that players advocated for him, and players who are gone, I know for a fact, at least one of them that I've spoken to, loves him. So I can't help but wonder if he's good at X's and O's. He's kind of gotten reacquainted to college football. Had the number one pass defense in the NFL at Buffalo, which meant a lot to Matt Rhule because he thinks the pass, like red zone, third downs, it's defending the pass against the majority of the teams that are going to be like ranked teams. And if you're trying to get in the college football playoff, every single one of those teams is a top 30 quarterback in the country, which means they can throw the ball. You got to be able to stop the opposing team's air raid or pass game, so to speak. I don't doubt John Butler's ability to game plan. I don't doubt his ability in X's and O's and scheming and things of that nature. The question is, how quickly can he adjust to the college game? He's had a year now. The 3-3-5 isn't where he's made his bread and butter, and I know it's more of a hybrid defense, but that's what a 3-3-5 is. It's really just a hybrid defense. They just put the numbers 3-3-5 with it. How familiar is he with it now? How quickly can he adjust to the college game as far as the players, coaching them? He seems to have related to the players well. So for me, I can't help but wonder. Husker fans are passionate, and I love it. Husker fans have been so many years of frustration, and it's led to honestly justifiable impatience. I'm not advocating for impatience. I advocate for patience. But if you feel a level of frustration, which creates a certain level of reasonable impatience, I get it, okay? But here's my thought. Like, I feel really good about Holgorsen as our OC. I feel really good about certain things with Matt Rhule and other things I'm in wait-and-see mode. When it comes to John Butler, it's kind of similar, but I can't help but wonder. Terry Bratton, Phil Snow coming in, John Butler. Are they maybe sneaky better hires than we realize due to pent-up frustration over the years? I don't know. But the more I learn, and it has more to do with the players and how they feel about Butler, the better I feel about it. But I'm still like, all right, I want to see how this unfolds, how this progresses, things of that nature. You know, he's not a coach that's going to have to come in and learn all the players, learn a new system. He's also not a coach that's going to go, like came from the outside and brought coaches or players with him. So he's going to have to recruit them from high school, from the transfer portal, things of that nature. All right, Phil Snow. He's not officially hired, but if Rhule were to bring in an outside older gentleman in that role, basically he's going to help him be in a second-in-command type head coach when it comes to helping him run this gigantic business known as Nebraska football. And I think I was like, man, is he going to be like helping Butler? And I'm sure he will, but I think he's more helping Rhule because Rhule made it clear he trusts John Butler today. I was like, man, we got a defensive head coach. We got a defensive associate head coach in waiting, it seems. We have obviously, John Butler's the D coordinator. Is Butler going to be in charge? It seems like he is. Snow is here to help Rhule, who's in charge of this gigantic thing and entity and business known as Nebraska football. All right, quick transfer portal updates. Then we got to head to break real quick here. All right. Per Steve Wilfong, Pete Nakos, Nationals type guys, they've logged predictions for Nebraska to land Missouri transfer Edge Williams and Ware. This is something to be excited about. Like, I don't overreact to commits. I don't overreact to transfer portal guys. And I'm not saying he's going to come in and break the sack record. What I am saying is he's got a lot of potential and a high ceiling. This is something to be excited about. It seems like it's going to happen, especially when he has a do not contact tag on his transfer portal status this morning. I thought this was interesting. You ever thought about this? You can't transfer to and from Army unless you're just going to leave Army. And I don't even know how that works. Is there a certain level of punishment with that? Here's my point. Army, the ACC champs, first ever conference championship in history, I might add, went 11-1 with no transfers on the roster, no NIL, and no transfer portal. Did you know, Jake, that Cam Rising has been in college football? He came out of the same recruiting class as Trevor Lawrence. Think about
Not
that.
Not surprising. He's been there forever.
Since 2017. He's going to be like a 91-year senior this upcoming year. All right, just a quick update. Nebraska's had 21 players enter the transfer portal. We have had two return. Haven't brought in anyone officially at this moment that I'm aware of just yet. And Nebraska will be hosting Kevin McAllister's long-lost brother, Jack McAllister. He's a punter, averaged 44 yards on 36 punts a season ago. They will be hosting a punter. And some of the top NIL collectives. Now, Rhule has mentioned that 1890s doubled down, and they've given him an opportunity to be in a lot of these conversations they couldn't be in before because of what 1890 is offering. Some of the top collectives in the Big Ten: Ohio State, 20.2 million, Michigan, 16.3 million, Penn State, 13.7, Indiana, 13.6 million, and Oregon's down at number six, actually a little bit lower than I thought. All right. And I think that's everything I've got, ladies and gentlemen. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, I'm going to attempt to fix the 12-team college football playoff and let you know who I believe that national champion would be and why Oregon's path to the playoff just makes, or to the championship game, just makes no freaking sense. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.